Let's just pray. Lord, we just simply lift this passage to you and ask that, Lord, as Debbie has already prayed, you would do that work that you need to do for us, that you want to do for us, for your glory through this passage. Amen. Now, in Ephesians, this is the second prayer that we've seen of Paul. The first one we saw in chapter 1, where he prayed for the eyes of our hearts to be opened so that we could get a really good eyeball, a really good look at God, get to know him better. But this prayer takes us deeper. And as I was thinking about this and reading and preparing, it occurred to me that before we dive into this passage and get busy with it, I'm going to ask, do you struggle with prayer? Do you find that you are easily distracted? You won't be alone. You'll be in the majority. I wonder if it might be that we just don't always get prayer, as it were. We kind of know what it is, but we can't really get into it. And maybe that's why we rarely do it. And if we do, and when we do, it's a bit restrained. Well, we do really well to learn from the prayers in the Bible. Take a look at the prayers of Moses or Daniel or David or Paul, or and a whole load of people, aren't there, where we see their prayers. And these men and women of God prayed with real fire in their belly. They cried out to God with a determined focus that seems to shut everything else out. Whatever's going on around them, and sometimes it was hideous stuff going on around them, but they focused on God. There's an old saying, I'm sure you'll have come across it, what we pray for, we care for. And that's true. But it works in reverse too, doesn't it, if you think about it? What we don't pray about, we don't care about. We might struggle to admit it, but it's true. We can say all we want about how much something means to us, but if we never talk it over with the Lord, if we don't pray about it, we don't honestly care about it. And recently, our prayer life has been something that the Lord has been challenging me over, burdening me over, because I truly believe that our God has much that he would have us do. And there is much that he would do through us in the ministry of West Street. But to do that, of course, there is something that always comes first. Before God does anything with his people, what does he require us to do? He requires us to seek him, to stay close to him, to obey him. And that means being serious about prayer. I say obey because that's the other thing. Sometimes we'll pray and we'll ask God a question and he'll answer us really clearly and we'll think, wow, I don't like the answer there. And we don't obey. We need to seek him. We need to listen to him. We need to obey. It means being serious about prayer. We need to be serious about prayer. There are plenty of things, I think, that hold us back when it comes to prayer. First, I think we don't make it a priority. It's not a priority in our lives. We prioritise everything else above it. We don't make it a priority, though Jesus did, and the Bible tells us that it is. The next thing is, I think, we worry that we won't use the right word. We won't be spiritual enough. But we won't be. So I wouldn't worry about that. The words are not important. It's what comes from the heart. Thirdly, we think we have to be super spiritual. Not just spiritual enough, we've got to be super spiritual. And to be sure that we have enough faith so that God will hear us. And we think we haven't got it. Well, our faith comes from him. So the first prayer, ask him to give us more. Friends, all the great prayers in the Bible were just like us. We look at them and we read what they prayed and we think they were kind of super spiritual giants, but they were just like us. You have a read through the Bible and you see they prayed incredible and sometimes quite shockingly bold prayers. As I said, check out Moses or Abraham or Nehemiah or Daniel or Jonah or David or Jesus or prayers like Paul's here. These prayers are given to us as examples and encouragements. And as you read the prayers in the Bible, I'd urge you to note not just the words, but the intensity and the fact that whatever the words, they really pray from the heart. We all need prayer. We all need help in prayer. And if we study the prayers of the Bible, we will find plenty of help. And this morning, we've got a real gem, haven't we? This has to be one of the greatest prayers in the Bible. It is so passionate. It's so full of exciting stuff. In fact, it is so full, we might easily miss Paul's main point. Because amongst all of this, there is a main point. So what we're going to do is to focus on Paul's single request. Amongst this prayer, there's a single request. We find it in verse 16, where Paul prays, that God may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That is the singular thing that Paul prays for in this prayer. That God will strengthen the Ephesians by his Holy Spirit on the inside so that they can live out God's will for them. Yes, of course, we see, don't we, an awful lot of other stuff that Paul packs in, much, much more. But everything else flows from this first single request, that prayer for strength. So let's keep that main request in mind as we wander through our prayer, this prayer together. And we're going to start by reading verse 13. So if you've got a Bible open, go back to verse 13. Because that's going to give us our context. What's it all about? What's it going on? Where's this prayer suddenly come from? Well, it doesn't suddenly come from anywhere. In verse 13, Paul says, "So I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory." Then straight away he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Paul knows, as we do, that our strength easily vaporizes. It just goes, doesn't it? One minute we're fighting fit for Jesus, and the next we're in a heap on the floor. We find ourselves distracted, or we're interrupted, or we're tired, or we're feeling sorry for ourselves. And just if we have one of those things, they can start to sap our strength, don't we? But don't you notice how all these things seem to come at once? There are distractions, we're feeling tired, we're feeling sorry for ourselves. It all comes at once. They just hit us. And they combine to hit us so hard that we struggle to get back up from the floor and into the fight. When you look at it this way, I mean, I've described this prayer as a real gem of a prayer, and it is. But it's a prayer that we need daily as well. It's a prayer for something we need daily, because we need spiritual strength. When we feel weak, prayer is hard. It is. Make a note of this prayer as a prayer to pray before you get to the point where you faint. If you are struggling with your own words, whenever you come to pray, just pick up your Bible. Pray this prayer. Use God's word. You can be sure it'll always be within his will. To be strengthened with power is to be made powerfully strong. That's what it says here. To be more than able, not just able to deal with what you've got, but more than able, so that what you've got in front of you, it isn't a big problem. It is just something you're dealing with the Lord. Now, I know we come across huge things in life, don't we? But when we are seeking the Lord's strength, he gives it. when you're made strong by the Holy Spirit in your inner being, his power will enable you to blast the unbelief away, to defeat despair, to overcome anger. And it'll give us power to keep going when you feel you would rather quit. Look at where this power is at work. It's at work in your inner being. That's where it is. And your inner being is your heart. And that is where we need the most help, isn't it? You notice how different this prayer is to the way that we might often pray? I think that's why so often we turn to this and we think, wow, but we don't pray like this very often, do we? Maybe you do. But I've got to confess, I don't. My prayers are so often more like, Lord, please get me out of this mess. I really don't like where I am. Get me away from this. It hurts. Make it stop. And those prayers aren't necessarily wrong. But the problem is, prayers like that have a habit of just closing us down. And it becomes such a focus because we are praying about what is a problem for us that we never pray anything else. But why does Paul pray for the strengthening of the Spirit in your inner being? Simply because he knows that that's what's needed. What's needed most is power on the inside. None of us is such a great Christian, are we, that we don't need God's power? To be honest, if you are, I'm not sure what you're doing here this morning. If you're that great, we're not, are we? We need God's power. Yes, I'm saved, but the truth is, I'm only human. I am messed up, and I'm a messed up human sinner. And I thank God that I'm saved by grace, but I'm only human. And so are you. I don't know whether you've noticed or not. Have a look around. You'll see each other. You're all human. That means that every second of every day, we need God's Holy Spirit to strengthen us in our inner beings. That's what we need. So our prayer should be less, Lord, take this away, and more, Lord, please strengthen me so that I can carry this with you. It's a prayer for strength to do the work that God has prepared for us, not a prayer to take the work away from us. That's what Paul focuses on in this amazing prayer. Everything else falls out from this request for strength. So we go on, we'll see there'll be three things, I think, that we will have as we are strengthened by the Spirit in our inner being. The first is in verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, we often talk about having Christ set up home in our hearts, don't we? And that's a great picture, I think. Having Jesus setting up home in your heart, it's a great picture. But here is a question that each one of us needs to take to heart about our heart. How at home have you made Jesus? How at home have you made Jesus? Has he got past the doormat, or is he still there? Has he just got a foot in the door? Have you said, well, look, I'm glad you've come, but please don't come any further because I don't want you to start making changes. I'm happy in the messy place I'm in. I quite like it as it is. You see, the truth is, the Lord demands free access to every area. Every area. He wants to be in your kitchen, in your bedroom, in your sitting room, in your cupboards. He wants to be at home in your heart. He wants to be in your attic. He wants to be everywhere. Don't leave him on the doormat. You leave him on the doormat, he will never be at home in your heart. He'll be barely a visitor. It's not a case we've got to ask of how much of the Lord do I have. It is instead, how much does the Lord have of me? Has he just got your doormat? Until Christ is at home in your heart, he will always seem like a stranger, even though he lives in you. When you're strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, your heart opens up and it opens up and it opens up. And he's able to share his riches with you. That's, he wants to come in and share his riches with you. Paul, at the beginning of this letter, says you've got all these riches, and yet they're on the doorstep because he hasn't got past the doormat. They're useless. How at home is God in your heart? The next miraculous thing that comes from this strengthening is that you will have a growing understanding of the love of Christ. That being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love that, of Christ, that passes or surpasses knowledge. Now the picture here is great, I think, being rooted and grounded. I think it's a wonderful picture. It shows us as we are people who are growing in our experience of the love of Jesus Christ. We don't understand everything all at once. We don't appreciate it all at once. Think about learning to read. Think about learning to do anything. We don't get it all at once. Of course, immediately we are saved, we experience the love of Christ, and that's wonderful. It is wonderful. But that is just the beginning. Because as we get more established, we grow. And we don't just grow of ourselves, we grow in his love. And the more we grow in his love, the more we will experience it, and the more we'll be blown away by it. Paul is saying, I pray that you will grow in your daily experience of the love of Jesus. Now that's a wonderful prayer, isn't it? We should be praying that for ourselves all the time. He even says, I pray that you will come to know in a personal way this love that surpasses knowledge. No matter how far you go in understanding and experiencing Christ's love, you will never come to the end of it because it never ends. You'll never get there. And the more you are blessed, the more you understand that the more there is coming. It's wonderful. No end. There is no end to Christ's love. Christ's love is broader than all creation. It is longer than the longest time. It is higher than hope, and it is deeper than death and despair. The more we're strengthened in our inner being by his spirits, the more we're going to be learning of his love for us. The more we'll be experiencing his love for us. What happens? Well, we find that we're going to be filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of God. This is the whole purpose of the Christian life. The idea here is being dominated by something. Absolutely dominated by something. You cannot see past this. You're filled with it. If you are filled with anger, then anger is going to dominate your life. If you're filled with the love for something else, then you can call it an addiction, you can call it a habit, but actually it is your desire for that that's more important. You're going to be dominated by it. If you are filled with love, then you're going to be dominated by love. It's going to be love that dominates your life. When you are filled with God, then God himself will dominate your life. This is talking about total transformation. Think about our verses for the year. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. This is total transformation of your character as God fills and refills and fills and refills and refills and refills your life. That's an amazing thought. I mean, it's a thought that is impossible to get hold of, isn't it? But it's a fact. To be filled with the fullness of God. Wow. To be filled with something which is eternally bigger than you can understand. Don't shy away from the implications of this truth. As believers, we have been created to be containers of God. He longs to keep pouring his life into you. pouring and pouring his life into yours and keep filling you so that you get strengthened spiritually, so you grow strong spiritually, so you stay strong spiritually, and you get stronger spiritually. So filled by the love of Christ that you are completely dominated. And when you're completely dominated by the love of Christ and by Christ, of course, the other things cannot have a hold on you. You're dealing with other stuff, then focus on God. Don't focus on the other stuff. It'll draw you back. Focus on God. Humanly, we can never understand this fullness of God. We will never understand it. Because his power, his majesty, his wisdom, his love, his mercy, his patience, his kindness, his grace, everything he is and everything he does, it is way outside of your brain power and mine. Now, you can't understand it. But here's the miracle. You can't understand, but you can experience this fullness of God in your life when you willingly give your whole being to him. When Christ is truly master of your heart, well, then you're going to be filled with the fullness of God. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, you've heard this kind of stuff before, Pastor. It's great to hear. I like it, but in reality, it's absolutely impossible. You're talking nonsense again. I've tried this, and I can't. It just doesn't work for me. Now, I can understand why you might say that. I really do. Been there before. It seems totally impossible, doesn't it? But it is not impossible. It's not impossible. That is the miracle of this. Look back at that key prayer request of Paul's. That's why this is so important, that he may grant you be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. When we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit, this is the end result. You and I cannot do this. We don't have the power. We're wimps. And we can't force God's hand to do this. But we don't have to. Because God can do it. He can do it and he wants to do it. And if we want him to, he will. There's the clue. Do you want him to? Or is he still on your doormat? Because if you haven't invited him in any further, you don't want him to. If you want him to, he will. Look at our last verses. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power that is work within us. His power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now look at Paul's certainty in that. Look at the intensity in that. Look at the wonder, look at the excitement in his prayer. Paul is not saying, oh, well, it would be quite nice. It would be good if, you know, I suppose it might happen, it might not. But who knows? I mean, I'll pray this and maybe, well, let's see. Because so often we pray like that, don't we? We kind of trot something out and we think, oh, I don't know. We vaguely throw it out there as a kind of, well, it would be good if this happens, but let's see. Who knows? No, not Paul. Paul expects God to be God. Paul expects God to be God. We need to do that when we pray. We need to expect God to be God. He knows that God is able to do it. He knew that God can do more than what we ask because he hears our prayers. He knew that God can do more than what we think because he knows what we think before we think it. Paul knew all these things, so he prayed with a whole lot. And now wait for this theological word. He prayed with a whole lot of oomph. He really went for it. He believed God's God, and so he took God's power to pray. Pray in your own power is wasteless, a waste of time, wouldn't bother. Pray in God's power, and you pray in God's will. We need God in everything. Paul prayed with a whole lot of oomph, and so can we. How's the oomph life in your prayer? Try it. How about you? Do you know God can do more than we ask or think? Do you know that? I know we've read it, I know we've heard it, but do you know that? Because his plans are bigger than our plans. Do you know that God can do much more than we ask or think? Because his grace and his mercy are way bigger than we understand, but we can experience it. We don't have to understand it. Do you know that God can do immeasurably, or to put it as it really is, not just immeasurably, but exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can imagine? Because his power is unmatched. The word means infinitely above and beyond all human measurement. It's one thing, isn't it, to go beyond what somebody expects or asks. You might think that's good customer service. But it is quite another thing to go infinitely beyond. That's what God does. God's ability is so great that it cannot be measured. It's so great it can't even be imagined. There are no limits to what God can do. God can do far more than we can pray. He's not limited by our prayers. He's not limited by our problems. He's not limited by our dreams or even by our understanding of who he is. But what do we do with this text? Because it's all very well for somebody to say, well, this is true. This is the case. Isn't it exciting? And it is. But what do we do with it? Because it's there, and it's there for us to do something with it. How do we apply this to our lives? First, let's just think about that in the respect, I think, of this church. Let me ask a couple of questions. Now, you can answer out loud or not if you want these questions. Actually, I'm going to ask one question. Do we believe in the power of prayer? I do. I believe in the power of prayer. I don't know that I believe in it enough. I pray that I'm going to be strengthened more and more. And I pray that we all will. So we believe in the power of prayer. Then please will you join in me with this prayer. I'm going to put it up on the screen. The words will be mainly familiar, but I've changed a few. So let's join in this together. We bow before the Father, from whom this family at West Street is named. And we ask that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant us to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in this church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And you can do that with Scripture. Take Scripture and personalize it and pray it. It's powerful. It's important. I'm going to ask my second question now. Now, will you commit with me to seeking God's will for our ministry here? You see, I'm not going to ask you to answer that out loud. I want you to take that away with God and ask him to help you. Will you commit to seeking God's will for our ministry here? I say our ministry. Ministry is the whole church. We all have ministry here. You see, I believe that when we pray a prayer like the one we have just prayed, we should expect God to be doing more in our midst than we have ever asked or ever thought. And that should have us keep seeking the Lord to strengthen us, to empower us, to give us, each of us, a new step in our faith. And it should keep us praying that same prayer as we go on stepping out in faith. Because the more we seek God, the more we will hear him saying, keep asking, Keep stretching yourselves. Keep getting outside of those comfort zones that you've got, because I can do more. Over the years, God has used this fellowship for his glory. Amazing things have gone on here. It's just a local church, but God does amazing things in the local churches. But you know, he is never limited. God can always do more. So that's for us as a church family. And it's important. But you know, there is something here. There is something here for you. Something here for me. And when I say there is something here for you, I'm not talking about the person behind you or in front of you or to the left of you. I'm talking about you. There is something here for you. There is a personal application here. When you are weak, pray to be strengthened in your inner being. It is a really simple prayer. There aren't many words. But the Lord is able to do more than we can imagine or ask or think. You're praying direct from Scripture. This is a prayer that God will answer, always. And as you pray, ask him to make things happen. These things. For Christ to be fully at home in your heart, for a growing understanding of the love of Christ, and for your life to be filled with the fullness of God. Have you noticed that in this prayer, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all active? If you haven't noticed that, have a read of it later again. It's a prayer that the Holy Spirit might strengthen us. It's a prayer that Christ might have free reign in our hearts. And that God might fill us. Just look again at verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's simple stuff, isn't it? Pray in faith. That's the key. Praying in faith. Just faith, nothing else is wanted by God. Faith will open the door and Christ will come in. And when he comes in and brings with him the fullness of God. Friends, this tells us, demands of us to come boldly, expectantly, to come with hearts that are eager to have what he promises. Now, a few years back, a chap called J.B. Phillips wrote a great book. It's a good book with a great title, Your God is Too Small. Friends, is your heart for God too small? Because if it is, then your prayers will be too small. I urge us to pray, pray, and pray big. It's time for us to close. But I just want to say one more thing. As I do say this thing, it's important. See, we can look at these passages and we can find ourselves stirred maybe occasionally by them. If we manage to stay awake through it, we may be stirred. But then we wander off and we're dragged off into the stuff of life, and life tramples us down, doesn't it? It does me, and I'm sure it will you. But don't let it. Instead, as you feel it happening, and we all get those kind of inklings that we're feeling downtrodden, don't we? Pray, pray, and pray big. Be determined, be bold, be intense, and know God's strength in your inner being. Don't focus on your problems. You focus on your problems will become your focus. Instead, focus on God, who can and will lead you through your problems. Don't look at your weaknesses. It will discourage you. I mean, if you're anything like me, you've got so many of them. Weaknesses will discourage you. They'll frustrate you. Instead, look at his unlimited power, and then you will know his faith and his strength. And despite your circumstances, God will see you through them. Because your God wants to strengthen you when you're struggling. He can hear the faintest of cries. He wants to answer you far more than you want to ask. He wants you to let him carry your burdens in times of crisis when you keep shoving them on your shoulders and carrying them yourself. He wants to relocate you when you've gone the wrong way. He is a truly awesome God. So we're going to close in prayer. But it just occurred to me that this morning I've been talking to mainly to those who have accepted the truth of the gospel, who know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. So just let me say to anybody here this morning who doesn't actually have that faith, those who have no certainty about their future, those who may be religious a bit, but you're still fearful of death. If that's you, I've got an incredible truth for you. God wants to save you. He sent Jesus to die for you. God wants to forgive you. Jesus paid the price for your sins on the cross. Not just for the religious lot, for you. God wants you to have an eternity with him. And you can, because Jesus rose from the dead. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's such an important thing. Will you come? Will you come and will you ask him to wipe away your sin and take away your guilt and lead you his way today? So important. And I've rambled on far too long, so let me pray. Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that your provision is far greater than our need. We come in Jesus' name, we come deeply conscious of our weakness and our doubt, and we ask, Lord, that you would grant us fresh faith to believe in you. That you would grant us to gladly lean on you. Lord, that you would teach us to pray and to pray big, that you might be honoured in a big way amongst us. Thank you that what you have done in our lives is just the beginning. Lord, be glorified in our midst, I pray, in this church, in our lives, in our community, in our today, in our tomorrow, and in our forever. Lord, we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, ramble on I might have done, but you're going to wake up now because we've got a good old hymn to sing.